here is what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do today. I am not coming to you probably with a well-ordered message, a normal type of sermon. I simply want to talk to you from my heart. Over the last couple days, I was at my desk at our home, and I was jotting down a few notes, what I felt like the Lord would have me to share with you this morning, just personally, one-to-one. And I took off this morning and left those notes on my desk. Pastor Denny gave me this word of comfort. I arrived here and he said, I said, man, I left my notes at home. He said, oh, I've done that before too, but I just walk across the parking lot and go get them. Hey, thanks for that piece of advice. I want to just talk to you on this subject here this morning. If you're taking notes, you can write this down at the top of your piece of paper. God will provide a shepherd. God will provide a shepherd. Now, we have had a moment ago a little bit of an update from the board. And Bruce mentioned that there were resumes that had come in. And some of those resumes were read and prayerfully evaluated. And the board members, really, they're not making any split decisions. They're all in unity and in agreement. There were some that they felt like just was not the direction of the Lord, and so they let those candidates know. And others, as Bruce mentioned, have received some follow-up questions. Basically, let us know a little bit more about you. And they all received the same questions. And before the month is over, there'll be a couple of those candidates, at least two are scheduled right now to come before the board for a personal interview. And you know, I agree with Bruce. This is the 11th church where Susan and I have been privileged to serve as interim pastor, and it is not an easy process. And I've walked with boards now in 11 previous or 10 previous situations, and it's not an easy process. And that is why the first thing that Bruce said was, thank you for your prayer. But can I remind you of something that I've shared with you already previously? And it is this: God already has someone chosen to shepherd and lead this church. When Pastor Tim and Cheryl resigned, it did not take God by surprise. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. God knew that they were going to retire before they shared that with the board. God knew that they were going to retire before they shared that with you as a congregation. God knew that they were going to retire before they knew they were going to retire. Because God is in control. And he has someone already in his design, in his perfect plan. Someone might say, well, why doesn't God just reveal it to us quickly and we could move on? You know, I believe, if for no other reason, because it gives us an opportunity to truly seek him, to seek his face, to seek his direction, and to yearn for the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. And that's why we need to pray now more than ever before. As we come down to the interviews, the board is needing to hear from God. I know that some of you have been praying already. You've been praying individually, and You've come on Saturday nights during our time of prayer. Every single Saturday night, we have taken time. It's not the only thing we pray about, but we have taken time to call out to God for His guidance, His direction in this process. But we're going to raise the stakes a little bit. How can we pray with greater impact in these next few weeks? I've talked to you about this before. There are only two ways in the pages of God's Word where we are given instruction how to add more impact to our prayers, more power to our prayers. Contrary to what some of you might think, it is not by praying louder. And thankfully, it's not necessarily praying longer. It's not praying using religious terminology or praying in the King James Version. Now, the two ways that God gives to us in the pages of Scripture to add more power and impact to our prayer is, number one, to combine prayer with fasting. And also to pray in agreement with others. Those are the two ways whereby we can add more power to our prayer. And we're going to do both of those two things right here in this month of November. First of all, the next three Thursdays, this Thursday and the following two. Somebody say, thankfully, he didn't say the fourth Thursday because that's Thanksgiving. But we're designating the next three Thursdays as days of fasting and prayer. And you say, go a whole day without eat. You fast and pray however you can. If that means you fast and pray one meal, great. Two meals, good. If you sense that God is prompting you to spend the entire day fasting and praying for His direction and His guidance in this transitional time, then you do that. And this is a very biblical thing, scriptural thing that we are going to do. Here's an example of it happening in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse number 3. Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Jehoshaphat said, we need God's guidance, his answer, his direction at this moment. And we're going to fast and pray and we're going to call out to heaven. And that's what we're going to do as a congregation the next three Thursdays. We invite you, the church will be open. Each of the next three Thursdays, the lights will be on, the heat will be on. If you would like to come and slip into the sanctuary at some point during the day, maybe if you're fasting your noon meal, and you say, well, instead of sitting here watching my husband eat in front of me, or whatever the case may be, you might say, I want to go down and just spend some time in prayer. The church will be open from 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. each of the next three Thursdays if you would like to come and pray here. It doesn't matter how much you invest in prayer and fasting. You do what you can do and what the Lord directs you to do. I would simply say, don't plan on participating in the process without having participated in prayer. That's the prerequisite. If I'm going to cast a vote, then surely I will have invested time in prayer. So that it would not simply be an arbitrary vote based upon some kind of human wisdom or inclination, but I will have said, God, lead us and direct us. Now, the other way to add more power to our prayer is by coming into agreement. And here is where Jesus talked about this in Matthew 18, 19. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So now, how can we pray in agreement? The word literally means that we are to pray in harmony. We are to harmonize with one another. We are to focus around the same objective. And that can be kind of tricky. If we don't know exactly how one another is praying, I know that somebody might be praying, I hope we get a pastor that can pick the banjo just like Pastor Tim did. And somebody else is saying, I was tired of that anyway. And somebody is praying, well, I hope he drives a Chevy. And somebody else is praying, hope he's a Ford man, really. Hope he's tall, hope he's short, hope his wife is. That doesn't sound like that we would be praying in agreement. We need some help. How to pray in agreement. And so this kind of brings us to what I would say is kind of the secondary title of what I'm sharing with you this morning. I'm going to give you a verse of scripture that for the next few weeks, I want to use this verse. I want all of us to use this verse so that we can pray in agreement with one another. And I would say this, we're talking about praying the promise of God over our church. We can all have a variety of different opinions as to what this church really needs. My heart was touched last night during our prayer, Saturday night here. Leona, I think it was Leona that was praying, God, you know our needs better than we know our needs. I love that. That was true. We all may think, this is what we most need. That's what we most need. God is the one who knows. Not just the needs that currently exist, but God will send a person to lead this congregation that will meet the needs of this congregation right here, right now, and also where he wants to take this congregation. Because he knows that. He already knows that. And so we want to be able to pray in agreement. Here is the verse that I want us to use for these next few weeks to agree around. You can turn to it in your Bible if you would like. It's our text, really. And you might say, well, boy, I don't know exactly how I will remember this verse. I've made that very easy for you. When this service is over, every single one of you are going to leave with a card just like this. It's got the verse right on it. I want you to take this card, and I want you to put it someplace where you will see it often throughout the day. Whether that would be on the front of your refrigerator, if that would be in the bathroom mirror, or if that would be in the front of your Bible, or if that would be on the dash of your car, or wherever it would be, and every time you see this verse, I want you to stop and take a moment and pray, God, this is what we're believing for. So here's the verse. It's found in Jeremiah 3 and verse number 15. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. Do you think that that just might be a good promise for us right here, right now, to latch onto as a congregation? You think so? Charlie says yes. I think that would be a good promise for us to say, God, this is what we're believing for. This is what we're trusting you to do. This is what we're looking to you for, that you will send us a shepherd after your own heart who will lead us with knowledge and understanding. So what I want to do in the next few moments is I want to just kind of break this verse down and let's talk about a few of the concepts that are contained in it, okay? First thing I want to point out to you is the promise of this verse. It's contained in those two words, I will. Since this church right now is without a permanent shepherd, and you know that that's what we need, isn't it good that God did not say, I could, I might, possibly, if you behave yourself? No, God said, I will. I will. And Ezekiel says, the word that the Lord says will be spoken and will come to pass. Somebody say amen to that. I will. This verse was actually written when the people had drifted from God. The people had grown cold in their walk and their relationship with him. But God was calling them back to his heart. And he said, if you'll come back and if you'll seek my face and if you will draw near to me, these are some things that I will do for you. And one of the things that I will do for you is I will give you spiritual leaders who will shepherd you, provide for you, protect you, care for you. That's what God wants to do for this congregation. At that point in time, God said, it's an expression of my love. I've got some really good news. God loves you. He loves this church. He knows exactly where Lions is at. I'm just telling you, over the last few months, I have told numerous people, well, we're serving as interim pastor in Lions right now. And predictably, their next word was, where? That's right. Can I tell you, God knows exactly where Lions is at. He knows exactly where 5th Street is at. He knows precisely where 440 5th Street is at. He knows that Sandyam Chapel sits right there. And he's had his hand upon this church and watching over this church for a long time. He loves you. It's a demonstration of his love. We must believe that God will fulfill his promise. Yes. We've got to say, God, we trust you. We trust you. It's very important for us to understand that ultimately, it is not the duty of the board to provide the right pastoral candidate. Certainly, they have some responsibilities. And let me just tell you, they have been carrying out those responsibilities and they've been doing it well. You have good leaders. You can have confidence that they are taking their job seriously. When we met last, just Wednesday night, and we're meeting again this coming Wednesday, I sensed that there was a recognition amongst the board members of the awesome task ahead of them. But yet, it's not their responsibility. It is not the board who said, we will provide. It is the Lord God Almighty. Somebody say amen. Amen. He said, he will. He will. So we trust in him. The next thing I want to point out to you in this verse is it's the very next word. I will give. I will give. Whether you've ever thought of it this way before or not, when God brings the shepherd to lead this church, that pastor, that shepherd, it's his gift. It's his gift. His gift. In fact, that's why Paul would write in the book of Ephesians, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets. He gave some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers. The spiritual leadership that God provides for a congregation is his gift to this church. Let me say really quickly, flowing on the heels of that, how we feel about the giver will be reflected in how we respond to his gift. God, we love you, but we sure don't know about this gift you gave us. No, no. I respond to the gift as I would respond to the giver. It's getting quiet in here. God wants to give us a gift of spiritual leadership. And the really neat thing is that when there is the coming together of God's man and God's people at God's appointed time, there is the release of God's anointing. And great things can happen. Somebody besides Bruce say amen. You know, we don't discount at all the great things, the good things that were transpiring here at Sandyam Chapel over the last 5 years as Pastor Tim and Cheryl led this congregation. But I believe the best is yet ahead. Somebody say amen. Amen. Good things are still in store. A good foundation was laid by Pastor Tim and Cheryl. And now God wants to build on that and release even greater things. Let's move on. I will give you a shepherd. A shepherd. The shepherd is one of the most beautiful pictures in Scripture of the relationship between spiritual leadership and God's people. First of all, it pictures the relationship between Christ and his church. In fact, the New Testament calls Jesus three different things: the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd of our flock. But it also refers to other individuals as under shepherds, under Christ, the good shepherd. Peter said to those who were ministering, he said, be shepherds of the flock. 1 Peter chapter 2. Give care and provision. And don't do it out of compulsion, and don't do it for money. But do it by modeling and setting an example for people to follow. In fact, if you want to look at that verse of Scripture where Peter was writing, you will pick up on four things that he said to the shepherds. He said, I want you to feed, I want you to lead, I want you to model, I want you to serve. You'll notice those four things. Many years ago, I was at a church growth conference that was going on at what was then called First Assembly of God in Portland. And the pastor, whose name was Jim Swanson, he got up and he taught a session in that conference for pastors. And he asked this question: are you a shepherd pastor or a cowboy pastor? Can I just say, God sends shepherds, not cowboys? Some years ago, I had the opportunity to minister way down in the southern and most eastern portion of our state, a little church called Paisley. And there are some ranchers there. And one day I was preaching that night, and one of the ranchers, Dan Withers, he said, hey, we got to brand some cattle today. You want to come out and watch? And I foolishly said, yes. I got some insight as to how cowboys interact with the cattle. God doesn't call those who are in leadership over his people to be cowboys. They drive the cattle. Ever been driving down a highway and you came up behind some cowboys driving cattle on the highway? I have. Let me tell you, it was bad driving on that highway for quite a few miles. And I'm not going to mention to you why, because you already know. God calls shepherds to lead his sheep. Lead his sheep. Let me tell you something that's really important about this church right now, at this moment. Do you know that Jesus has special love and care for people who are currently without a shepherd? You say, how do we know that? Well, it's because what the Bible says. Look here at this verse, Mark 6:34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Can I just highlight a little bit for you? He had compassion because they were without a shepherd. You don't have to say it out loud. I just want you to think it right now. Jesus has special compassion upon Sandyam Chapel. He cares. He loves. Because we're sheep without a shepherd. We got the temporary guy filling in. But he cares about this church in a unique and special way. We better move on. When God sends shepherds, he's going to do so desiring to send shepherds who would be after his own heart. After his own heart. What does that mean? That means God desires that the shepherd would reflect his heart to the people. That the shepherd would have the same patience with the people that God has. That the shepherd would have the same gentleness with the people that God has. That the shepherd would have the same love for the people that God has. Shepherds after his heart, reflecting his heart to the people. That's what God desires. Can I say, as I was thinking about this, my mind went to a verse of scripture that talks about John the Baptist. And it might be good for us just to be kind of reminded of this right now. It says in the Gospels that John the Baptist was a man sent from God. And when it comes to selecting a shepherd for this congregation, that's an important thing. How many of you would agree? We desire to have a man or woman who is heaven sent, who is God anointed, who is divinely appointed, who is God chosen. That's what we most need. That's the kind of person that's going to help this church move forward. Not who has a call from his mother to be a pastor, but a call from God to be a pastor. Oh, that's, so I'm supposed to just be talking with you today, huh? But it is also important for us to notice that John the Baptist was not only sent from God, but he was a man. And can I remind us all that the man may be sent from God, but he's still a man. That means he may make mistakes. I make mistakes. He may fall short on occasion. But that's okay, because we don't want an angel to come. We want a man who can relate with us, with our own shortcomings and our own failures and our own faults. Somebody say amen. We want a man who is sent from God, and we want to keep both equally in focus. From God, but yet still amen. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead you. Now, I saw some of you, and Dennis, he's got his device punched up right there. What version did you punch up in your little device there?
I have Living Standard.
Living Standard. Interesting.
New Living Standard.
New Living Standard. And I didn't even know there was an old Living Standard, let alone a new one. You know, if you would look at many different versions, and I know you all have your favorite. The NIV says lead. The King James, the New King James, the English Standard Version, and I don't know what the New Living Standard Version says, but it actually translates that word feed. So which is it? Lead or feed? It's both. It is the Hebrew word ra'ah that literally means to take to pasture. Not pastor, pasture. To take the sheep to pasture. So, you lead the sheep, but you lead the sheep primarily for the purpose of taking them beside still waters and to the green grass to eat and be nourished. So it's actually both. Feed and lead. But can I comment for just a moment on the fact that we will have a shepherd who will lead us? Lead implies movement. If I said to Charlie, hey Charlie, I know you don't know where my office is. Come and follow me, I'll take you there. It means I've got to move, and he's got to follow.
Amen.
Leadership means movement. God wants to send a shepherd to this church because he has some place that he wants this church to go. And he wants to lead. And if Charlie is going to say, I ain't going with you, Pastor, and he drags in his heels, digs in, I'm not going, well, whatever I've got in his office, he's going to miss out on.
Amen.
I'm trying to lead, but I'm not a leader unless he's a follower.
Amen.
Are you with me? You're scared to say amen because you know where this is going. Listen, God is not going to send a shepherd who will simply be satisfied with status quo. Hey, this is good. Why don't we just stay right here? This is good. Everything's fine. People are happy. In fact, you tell them to fellowship, you can't get them to shut up and sit back down. What? Well, let's not do anything different. Oh, no. That's not the shepherd we want. We want the shepherd that's going to lead us. It's going to take us where God wants us to be. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He's going to lead us to the pastures where God wants us to go. Now, how is it that this shepherd is going to lead us? He's going to lead us. You see, I haven't been clicking the little thing here, so I got to catch the PowerPoint up with me. Let me just say, we must be ready to move with the shepherd that God sends. How is it that God's going to lead, or the shepherd is going to lead? He's going to lead us, first of all, with knowledge. What does that mean? Well, he's going to lead us with knowledge of several things. First of all, we hope that he's going to lead us with knowledge of the word. That's important. Amen? And we want him to lead us with knowledge and a sensitivity to the Spirit. Both are important. We want him to lead us with a vision for the church, what God wants us to be. And he's also going to lead us not only with knowledge, but he is going to lead us with understanding. Well, what does that mean? Well, this shepherd is going to lead us not only with the knowledge of God, things, the word, prayer, the spirit, a vision from, but he's going to lead us with understanding for people, us. He's going to be able to relate to us and not take off real fast and leave us behind, but lovingly guide us along, gently, with compassion and patience, take us where God wants us to be. So, here we are, Jeremiah 3:15. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. As I close, Matt, would you help me? Would you just make sure everybody in this section right here gets one? There may be a few left over that we have to kind of splash over one way or the other. Hey, Dennis, would you help me, please? And just make sure that everybody here in this section gets one of these cards. Well, thank you, Dale. Before they call, I will answer. I love that. Since you're so quick, I'll give you 2 seconds. Okay, thank you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this card and make this the most important, serious, significant thing in your life for this month of November. I want you to come to this card each day and say, God, I'm praying your promise over our church. I'm praying this promise that you will give us a shepherd. When we do this, you understand we're going to be praying in agreement. I want to pray, God, that you will give us a shepherd who will be reflective of your nature and your character. Let me say, the board members have looked at resumes that have listed a number of skills and talents and abilities, and all of that is great. You've had Pastor Tim and Cheryl, who had so many musical skills. The first time that Susan and I came and slipped in just to visit the church, we thought we'd made a wrong turn and gone to Branson or something with all the music. Pastor played 4 different instruments on the Sunday that we visited that day. All of that is good. But you know what we most need? It doesn't even matter if our next pastor has all the skills and gifts and abilities that our last pastor did. It's character that counts, and calling that counts, and commitment that counts. That's why we're praying in agreement these next few weeks. God, give us this kind of person. Because the bottom line is, we will not be able to make a decision. This may be discouraging to you, but you better not even try to make a decision based upon what your eyes see in a candidate. You better make a decision based upon what your ears hear from the Lord. Amen? It's good to have them come and preach a couple times and nice to hear them, and that's all wonderful. But we got to be in tune with God's Holy Spirit. I want to close with this little story, and then we're going to pray, especially for our board as we wrap up the service. We must not rush the process. Some years ago, I stepped out onto the back patio of our house in Lebanon. Susan had a lovely, beautiful fuchsia hanging there on the back patio. When I looked over, I saw that our middle granddaughter was doing something with the fuchsia. So I went over to see what she was doing. She had in her hand, she had one of the little buds hanging there. And I said, "Grace, what are you doing?" She said, "Papa, I'm trying to open it up. I want it to be beautiful like the others." And I had to say, "Oh, Grace, you can't rush the process. It will open up and it will reveal the beauty at the right time." I've had a couple people in the congregation say, "What's taking so long?" If you were on the board, you wouldn't be asking that question. All I would say is we cannot rush the process and try to force something to happen, because having the right decision is more important than a quick decision. If you agree on that, say amen. Amen. So God, we trust you. We'll wait upon you. We will. I'm going to ask our board members to come and to stand here before you at the altar. The next few weeks are very critical, very key, as they will be meeting with individuals who've expressed a desire to be considered to serve this church. The greatest thing that we can do is to pray. The next three Thursdays, to fast and pray. If you can come to the church between 9 and 7, anytime, come and go. Come for a half hour, perfect. And to pray in agreement. Not just pray about something and hope God will bless it, but pray the word of God and know God will bless it. Amen? But what we're going to do today is we're going to pray for special wisdom and divine direction, for discernment and insight for each one of these board members. And you're going to help me. If you want to just communicate to them that you're standing with them and you're supporting them and you're behind them, would you come right now and just stand with them and get right around them? Lay your hands on them. If you can get in behind them, great. If you're standing in front, fine. Just say, "I'm with you. We thank you for what you're doing. We know it's hard. You may be coming and you may be thinking, I'm glad it's not me. I'm glad it's you." Now, I'm going to lead us in prayer, but I don't want to be the only one praying. I want you to lift your voice and I want you to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these individuals that you have ordained to be in this place of leadership in this congregation right now. And we pray, as this congregation, we pray that you would give them wisdom and insight. We pray, oh God, that they would hear clearly the voice of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that they would be divinely directed to that person that you have divinely chosen already to come and to lead this congregation. Give them wisdom far beyond their own intellect and reasoning. Give them wisdom that comes from above. Give them spiritual eyes so that they might see what they might normally overlook. But Holy Spirit, you will illuminate it to them. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that there would be continued unity as they move through the process, that they would move with confidence, without reservation, no hesitation, knowing that you are going before them. We pray this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may find your seats. Only I want you to stand instead of be seated, and we're going to close with one chorus before we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to reach out and grab the hand of somebody on either side of you. Stand, and you may need to go right across the aisle. Just find somebody to hang on to there, and I want you to lift your voice and sing this together, will you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, some of you have known from the get-go that we have had a special guest with us today. I didn't know they were coming. Nobody probably knew they were coming. Cap'n Laverne Marks, our former superintendent of Oregon Ministry Network Assemblies of God Churches, and also a person who has served this church in the past as an interim pastor. And some of you well remember that and love Cap'n Laverne dearly. Cap, would you pray and ask God's blessing upon this church before we go have some lunch?